Hello and welcome to the Zero to Finals podcast. My name is Tom, and in this episode, I'm going to be talking to you about facial nerve palsy. And you can find written notes on this topic at zerotofinals.com/facial-nerve-palsy or in the neurology section of the second edition of the Zero to Finals Medicine book. And you can find flashcards and questions to train your knowledge on this content and help you remember the information for longer at members.zerotofinals.com. So let's get straight into it. Facial nerve palsy refers to isolated dysfunction in the facial nerve, and it presents with unilateral facial weakness, with weakness of the facial muscles on one side. Let's talk about the facial nerve pathway. The facial nerve exits the brainstem at the cerebellopontine angle. On its journey to the face, it passes through the temporal bone and the parotid gland. It then divides into five branches: the temporal branch, the zygomatic branch, the buccal branch, the marginal mandibular branch, and the cervical branch. Let's talk about the function of the facial nerve. The motor function of the facial nerve controls facial expression, the stapedius muscle in the inner ear, and the posterior digastric, stylohyoid, and platysma muscles. The facial nerve provides sensory function for taste from the anterior two-thirds of the tongue, and it provides the parasympathetic supply to the submandibular and sublingual salivary glands and the lacrimal gland, stimulating tear production. Next, let's talk about a very important task, which is differentiating between upper and lower facial nerve lesions. It's essential to differentiate between upper motor neuron and lower motor neuron facial nerve palsy. Patients with a new onset upper motor neuron facial nerve palsy need immediate management for a possible stroke. In contrast, patients with lower motor neuron facial nerve palsy can generally be managed less urgently. Each side of the forehead has upper motor neuron innervation by both sides of the brain. However, each side of the forehead only has lower motor neuron innervation from one side of the brain. The forehead will be spared in an upper motor neuron lesion, meaning that the patient can move their forehead on the affected side. In a lower motor neuron lesion, the forehead is not spared and the patient cannot move their forehead on the affected side. So if you ask the patient to raise their eyebrows, if they have an upper motor neuron lesion, they'll be able to raise both eyebrows, but if they have a lower motor neuron lesion, they won't be able to raise their eyebrow on the affected side. Let's talk about upper motor neuron lesions. A unilateral upper motor neuron facial nerve palsy can occur with cerebrovascular accidents or strokes or tumors. Bilateral upper motor neuron lesions are rare. They may occur in pseudobulbar palsies and motor neuron disease. Next, let's talk about Bell's palsy. Bell's palsy is a relatively common condition. It's idiopathic, meaning there's no apparent cause. It presents with a unilateral lower motor neuron facial nerve palsy. Most patients fully recover from a Bell's palsy over several weeks, but recovery may take up to 12 months. A third of patients are left with some residual weakness. If a patient presents with a Bell's palsy within 72 hours of the symptoms developing, the NICE clinical knowledge summaries updated in 2023 recommend considering prednisolone as a treatment, either 50 mg for 10 days or 60 mg for 5 days, followed by a 5-day reducing regime, dropping the dose by 10 mg per day. Patients also require lubricating eye drops to prevent the eyes from drying out and becoming damaged. Pain in the eye requires an urgent ophthalmology review for exposure keratopathy. The eye can be taped closed at night to prevent damage. Next, let's talk about Ramsay-Hunt syndrome. Ramsay-Hunt syndrome is caused by the varicella zoster virus, or VZV. It presents as a unilateral lower motor neuron facial nerve palsy. Patients stereotypically have a painful and tender vesicular rash in the ear canal, pinna, and around the ear on the affected side. Vesicles are fluid-filled blisters. This rash can extend to the anterior two-thirds of the tongue and the hard palate inside the mouth. Treatment of Ramsay-Hunt syndrome is with acyclovir and prednisolone, and patients also require lubricating eye drops. A Tom tip for you, Ramsay-Hunt syndrome is a popular MCQ exam question. Look out for the patient with a facial nerve palsy and a vesicular rash around their ear, as it's likely to be Ramsay-Hunt syndrome. Finally, let's talk about the other causes of a lower motor neuron facial nerve palsy. And there are many causes that can be broken down into four sections: infections, systemic diseases, tumours, and trauma. Infections include otitis media, otitis externa, HIV, and Lyme disease. Systemic diseases include diabetes, sarcoidosis, leukemia, multiple sclerosis, and Guillain-Barré syndrome. Tumours include an acoustic neuroma, parotid gland tumour, and cholesteatoma. And trauma includes direct nerve trauma, surgery, and base of skull fractures. So thanks for listening to this episode on facial nerve palsy. As always, a big thank you to Harry Watchman for perfectly editing the podcast. And I hope you join us for the next episode, where we'll talk about brain tumours.